You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, time to talk some college football. Let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Ben Kirchhoff joins us, CBS Sports. How are you, Ben?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. All right. I shouldn't have doubted anything about Nick Saban, and yet I did not think what I saw on Saturday was going to happen. Was it as surprising to those of you who have been following what has been going on a little bit more closely?
Yeah, because that's not what Alabama has been all season. Now, look, you're absolutely right. Just when you, and this is like, how many times have we seen this movie before? Just when you think you've got Nick Saban, just when you think you've got Alabama right where you want them, you don't. And you don't even have to go back that far. I mean, Auburn felt the same way a week before the SEC championship game in the Iron Bowl. That being said, the reason why it was surprising is because Alabama, despite what we think Alabama is every single year, has not been a good team in the trenches. This has not been a typical Alabama offensive line. It hasn't even really been a typical Alabama defensive line. But when they faced the best defense in the country in Atlanta, suddenly the offensive line is giving Bryce Young 5 seconds to throw the ball. And when you give him 5 seconds to throw the ball, he's going to drop dimes to Jameson Williams because that's what he does. So, yeah, definitely surprising. But then again, you look at what the meaning of that game is, and suddenly you're going, well, at the end of the day, despite everything else, any other weakness you might have, if you have an elite quarterback and elite wide receivers, the game has not changed in the past few years, and that is your best chance to win.
If you're a Georgia fan, I got to believe this is one of the more disheartening losses. If we're not going to beat Alabama with that defense, we may never beat Alabama.
It's disheartening because to this point, I think you've been able to tell yourself, and incorrectly too, it's not like it's been some false narrative, but you've been able to tell yourself, we can win with defense. And Stetson Bennett, yeah, he might be a former walk-on and he's undersized and all that, but he's been playing well. He's been getting the ball downfield. He can run when he needs to. When you're surrounded by that supporting cast, you don't need a Bryce Young level quarterback. You need a guy who's, you know, not to be frank, but who's good enough. And Stetson Bennett has been good enough. But when you play a team on the other end who also has just dudes everywhere at the same clip that you do, and they have a better quarterback, I think that's where it starts to show up. And so there's a real question for Georgia moving forward, kind of an existential crisis question, because look, this is their best shot since their last national championship. This looks like it's been their year all season long. And now you have to ask yourself, is Stetson Bennett really the guy that we can win it with? Or this late in the year, do we go back to the drawing board and give JT Daniels a chance? And you don't have to look very far to see if this quandary is typical anywhere else. I mean, Alabama had Jalen Hurts. Now, Jalen Hurts is starting in the NFL, but like we had Jalen Hurts, and suddenly you get bring this kid off the bench to a Tagovailoa, and he goes and wins the national championship for you.
I don't like playing what ifs, but I do think this is kind of an important question here, and because I do think there's a wonder if the committee is sort of growing a bit in the way it looks at a team like Cincinnati that it hadn't in the past. Do you think they were solid on the Bearcats? Hey, win and they're in. I don't care what happens to Oklahoma State or anybody else. Win and they're in. Do you think they were that committed to the Bearcats, or do you think if the Cowboys had won that game, we would have a real, real conversation about where exactly that fourth seed would be?
I think if Oklahoma State had scored a touchdown instead of coming up inches short, no, I think Cincinnati's still in. That being said, I don't know that this is the shattering of the glass ceiling as it has been described in a lot of places over the past few days. I think if Ohio State has one loss, even as a non-conference champion, I think it's a little bit more of a debate. I don't know that this is a real cut and dry thing for Cincinnati. To me, the large reason why they're in. And to be clear, this is not my personal feeling on Cincinnati. This is me projecting what I think about what the committee would do.
Absolutely.
I think the committee is looking for just about any reason it can to not put a group of five team in. But they've won. And I know you're supposed to look at it through the chamber of this season and this season only. This is a program that's won like 22 games in the past two seasons. Came up just short against Georgia a season ago. Beat Notre Dame on the road. I mean, they had to do everything. And you had to kind of get over the bodies of UCF, Houston, Boise State, TCU. I mean, all the group of five teams in the past, you had to kind of climb over that hill. I think it took a perfect circumstance for this to happen. So that's my read on the committee's view of Cincinnati.
In terms of, again, it's all about seeding. I guess it would be – this made it a little easier for the committee. Any trouble with the way these teams were seeded at all?
No. No, I think the seeding is fine. Probably the easiest and least dramatic reveal in a long time.
Yeah, I agree. Going through some coaching changes, I saw Marcus Freeman's speech yesterday. I got caught up in it, and I try really hard not to get caught up in it. This seems to be like a good hire for Notre Dame. Do you think it will be? He's a young guy, but he seems like he's ready for this.
Man, this – okay. Let me answer your question with a question.
Okay.
Is Notre Dame likable now?
That's a great question. That is a great question.
Put it another way. Is it just this not automatic thing where you're like, oh, God, Notre Dame? Because, look, Brian Kelly – probably a top five coach in college football.
Sure.
Nobody likes him.
Agree completely.
He's a bad guy. He is. I'll go that far. He's a bad guy. Marcus Freeman, very likable. Outstanding recruiter. I mean, I don't know if you've paid much attention to the 2022, 2023 classes that Notre Dame has been putting together. It's top five stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of level you need to recruit at to actually win a national championship. Brian, and which is hard to do at Notre Dame because of the academic requirements to get in there. It's not like recruiting to LSU or Alabama or Florida or something like that, or even Ohio State. It's very, very different. And he's recruiting at that level. And Tommy Rees, the offense has been better this year, especially the second half of the season. That was a big retention, keeping him. You know, a lot of times with these coaches, it's can you put the right staff together and can you be a great closer and recruiter? And I'm not saying game planning and X's and O's doesn't matter. It absolutely does. That's a large chunk of it. And Marcus Freeman looks like he's off to a great start.
And something like that was kind of hampering Dan Mullen at Florida when he was asked about recruiting. Like, you may not like it, but you can't say you don't like it. You have to. That is so part of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to. And it's not even just recruiting. It's the culture and the landscape of the sport now.
Right.
It's different than it was 20 years ago. And I don't like making sweeping generalizations, but it's kind of a young coach's game now. I mean, like Gary Patterson, one of the best defensive minds ever graced college football. This is not his game anymore. It's not. And I think with the Marcus Freemans, the Lincoln Rileys, the Ryan Days of the world, I think it's their oyster now.
It feels like to me, if I'm an athletic director and I have a choice between an older offensive genius that's not a great recruiter but can put some game plans together, or a young guy that has proven he can call plays on whatever side of the ball, young guy looking for a chance but is a hell of a recruiter, I could sell the young guy better to the fan base than the guy who's not into the recruiting game.
Yeah, well, and also I think if we're kind of talking about Mullen, and by the way, I was floored like everyone else. I mean, I don't know that I've seen a fall from grace that
Me too.
Quick. I mean, that's
SEC title game to out of a job before the season ends.
Yeah, beat Georgia last year. I mean,
right.
just complete fall from grace. But from what I understand, it's not even just the recruiting comments. I mean, the culture within Florida State was non-existent. And to the point where, you know, if one bad thing happens, I mean, this is what coaches talk about all the time. It's not what happens to you. Everybody has an off week. It's how you rebound. And when you don't rebound, when suddenly you pull out, it's like a Jenga thing, right? You pull out like one block and the whole thing comes undone. I mean, I think that's what you were probably looking at with Florida. But yeah, it's just, it's a different landscape now, and you've got to react differently to stuff. And guys, and Mullen, genius play caller, great game plan designer, probably a better fit for the NFL.
Yeah. Mario Cristobal going to Miami. Lateral move, there's money involved, I get it, but Oregon, a team that is always in the top 10 to rebuilding Miami, I don't. How do you make that decision?
Well, I think these are very extenuating circumstances. Above all, and this is very important and something I will never judge him for, his mom is very sick.
Yeah.
He's moving back. He actually, I think before the Oregon State game, went back and flew in to Miami to see her. He is also very embedded in the community in Miami, as much as any coach in college football. Played there, is from the area. It's home. It's home, and it's his mom. And if it wasn't those two things, first of all, I don't know that he would have left. And secondly, yeah, I definitely don't think he would have left given the shenanigans that Miami pulled with Manny Diaz.
Exactly. That's kind of the angle, too. I get pulling you home. I wouldn't want to walk around that circumstance. I would want to stay outside of that as much as possible. I'd be like, mention me unless you get this in order first.
Oh, no. I think... again, when it's home and when it's mom, logic kind of goes out the window.
Sure, completely.
It's your heartstrings. But if if I were going to another job in CBS and they still had the guy, I would be like, "What are you doing?" I mean, that's
right.
And look, I'm not shedding tears for Manny Diaz. He's getting a fine buyout. He coached Temple for like 48 hours before he took the Miami job. I'm not going to shed tears for him, but if you're Miami, and part of this is because they didn't have an athletic director, but if boosters are running the show, and that always turns out well,
right.
but if that's happening, fire the guy. Don't settle. Don't straddle the fence. Don't say, well, if we can't get Mario Cristobal, we'll keep Manny Diaz. The whole thing with Miami for years has been, they don't want to spend, right? They don't want to do what's necessary to win a national championship. Suddenly, Mario Cristobal comes into the picture. They have no problem paying him $8 million a year plus an incredible salary pool for his assistants. If I'm Manny Diaz, those last 48 hours, you know what I'm doing? I'm maxing out the company credit card, man. I'm going to the restaurants. I'm taking the private jet down to the Bahamas. I'm like, screw you guys. This is ridiculous.
I agree completely. Ben, always good talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much. We'll catch up with you soon. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, man. Take care.
You got it. Ben Kercheval, CBS Sports. Always has a good time when he comes on. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. One thought about the Miami situation that always makes me laugh when we come back on Wake Up Call.